is your home of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.
Like the trailer shot, score!
You are now listening to The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGalligan. This is your inside perspective on the NHL, players, the Blue Jackets, and more.
Watch with us. Brought to you by Ohio Health, Nationwide Insurance, Eldorado Scioto Downs, and Huntington.
Here's former Jacket Jody Shelley and the voice of the Jackets, Bob McGalligan.
Welcome to The Inside Edge. I'm Bob McGilligan, joined by Jody Shelley. Today we're coming to you from the Marriott Waterside here in Tampa. It's right across the street from Amalie Arena, where the Blue Jackets will resume their road trip on Friday night, taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning for the final time this regular season. Jody, last night, we've got a big show here. We're going to have Jarmo Kekäläinen, Blue Jackets GM, in just a couple of minutes, and then we've got Aaron Portsline from the Columbus Dispatch later. So let's go through last night quickly. And quickly is about the way to talk about it. The Blue Jackets lose 5-3 last evening. It was a game in which they had an early lead. They could have had a second goal. It was disallowed. And then the Carolina Hurricanes came back. But one thing we learned about Carolina is they are fast. They are aggressive. And to me, I don't know how you felt, but I felt that that was maybe the toughest game the Blue Jackets have played in the last 4 weeks.
Well, interesting note to start that game. Sergei Bobrovsky gets ill. Forsberg goes in. I mean, you put Forsberg in that situation. Tough situation for him last night. Matty Calvert, a late scratch. Dalton Probst pulls in on the wing. Different dynamic for the Blue Jackets. Hey, they're going to face adversity, and that's adversity before the puck hits the ice for the Columbus Blue Jackets. They were excited to have Forsberg. He fought it a little bit, and the Blue Jackets stuck with it. You know what? They had a chance to win that game. Power play came up short last night. That's been a huge momentum push for this team. I like the team. I like what they're facing. They're facing a desperate team in the Carolina Hurricanes. Carolina's 2 points, that was a huge 2 points for them. They're looking to rise after that and catapult themselves, you know, up in the playoffs picture. But you know what? They got the Blue Jackets next week and 3 days after, so they're going to have a tall task. But I don't mind it for the Blue Jackets. I think they got a few days here in between games. They'll reset, refocus for the back-to-back. To me, the puck was bouncing too much, and they didn't push early enough. The push late, you got to credit Cam Ward on that win.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Anton Forsberg made the start in goal. He just got called up, and then he gets in there. Curtis McElhinney waived on Monday and was claimed by the Toronto Maple Leafs, which is good. He's got a job. But Forsberg is trying to win himself a job here right now. With Matt Calvert not being in there, I don't know if I'm overthinking this, and you can correct me if I am, but that line of Calvert, Carlson, and Anderson has been the settle-it-down line all year. When things are going astray, John Tortorella puts them out. They settle it all down. He wasn't there last night, and that changed a lot of that dynamic.
I agree with that. I mean, you always miss Matt Calvert. I did like how Hartnell fit in there, because when Calvert was out with that head injury, Hartnell slid into that position, and him and Anderson do well together. It's just a matter of coming up short with all lines, I think. You know, I think they were surprised at times by the Carolina's speed. They were surprised at times by the Carolina's penalty kill. I mean, it was impressive, number one in the league, and they locked it down. Very structured, very quick, and very well-coached team.
Yes, they were. And as you said, the Blue Jackets are going to get them when they get back home next week after they wrap up this road trip. But there's still plenty of hockey to play here on Friday night in Tampa and then across the state in Sunshine, Florida, taking on the Florida Panthers on Saturday. But the Blue Jackets staff, much of the staff, made this trip to come to Florida. And the reason being, there are scouting meetings going on this week. Jarmo Kekäläinen, John Davidson, they were here. We landed last night. They immediately got into a car, went over to Orlando, where those scouting meetings are going to be, and those meetings start today. However, yesterday, before the game, Jody and I got a chance to catch up with the Blue Jackets general manager, Jarmo Kekäläinen. Jarmo, you come in this week with the best team in the National Hockey League, and I guess my first question for you is, last year when you go through what you did, you finished 27th in the league. How do you have the patience to pretty much stay with the same group, with bringing in a couple of young players, I realize, from Cleveland? But other than that, very little change on this team. Was that tough or was that easier for you to stay with the group?
Well, when you finish 27th, a lot of things go through your mind and you have to analyze things. And at the end of the day, we felt that we had a good group last year. We didn't feel that we were 27th best team in the league. Before the season, everybody had kind of picked us to be the dark horse of the Metro or to make the playoffs or even compete for Stanley Cup, and we ended up 27th for various reasons, mainly because we got off to a poor start and we underachieved and didn't play up to our potential. But we felt that we are a much better team. We feel that we are improved and better this year because of some of the additions. Obviously, the championship in Cleveland was encouraging. We saw some of our young prospects take a huge role in that run and make a fairly safe prediction that a guy like Zach Werenski is going to make a smooth transition. You never know. You'll have to see that for him to get there. But to come in as an 18-year-old defenseman and do what he did in the American League playoffs was got us more than excited, but we kind of bit our tongue until we saw him do the same thing in the NHL.
Jarmo, you've been in hockey your entire life, and is there an experience or something you've been through? Because I know you were a general manager back in Finland. You were an assistant GM. You've done a lot of different roles. Is there something that you can lean back on and you're glad you went through that helped you through this last year and into this season?
I don't know. In 20 years that I've been in management, I've never gone 0-8 to start, so that was kind of a shocker and something that I hope I never have to experience again. But I kept saying that through last year, through the experience, that this is a time when you learn the most. And you learn about your players, you learn about your staff, the people around you, you know, how they stay positive or do they start pointing fingers, making excuses. And I felt within our group that the guys got tighter together as a group, and they still were a team, and they weren't pointing fingers. They weren't making excuses, and I think that they grew together a lot. They learned a lot, and as a management staff, I'm sure we learned a lot too. And whenever we, if we would ever get too high with the winning streaks or looking at the standings, all you have to do is remind yourself of where we were last year, and I think it'll keep the feet firmly on the ground.
You've always said that you look at your team every day and you're looking to make them better however you can. But there are some very tough decisions that have to be made when you're doing that, and probably some things that you don't even like to do. And you did that earlier this week with a guy like Curtis McElhaney, who's been a true pro and a great teammate here, putting him on waivers and bringing up Anton Forsberg to try to fortify that backup goaltending position. How tough is that for you? You make the decision and then to have to tell the player and actually make the move.
I hate that part of the job, obviously. Like you said, Curtis is a great pro and a real quality person and a teammate that's very well liked. Organizationally, we felt last year that we were already at a point where, you know, Curtis is not a young goaltender anymore. At some point, he's going to move on, and we have two good young goaltenders. Breathing on his neck, Anton played great in the playoffs in the American League, won the championship for him at the end. We all saw Jonas Korpisalo, even on the NHL level, excel on the NHL level and fairly consistently for the 30 games that he played. So we knew that switch was coming at some point. Curtis played some great games for us and deserved the opportunity and the ice time he got this year. We felt that now was the time to give Anton Forsberg a chance, an opportunity to show what he can do. He's 9:30 in the American League this year again and playing very consistently, very well. So in order to do that, we had to make a roster move. It's as simple as that. And like you said, it's a hard part of the business, and I certainly don't enjoy doing it, but room had to be made on the roster.
And from a fan standpoint, they saw Korpisalo play here so well last year. And Forsberg, when he's been up, he hasn't performed as well in the NHL. But you've seen him at the American Hockey League level. As you said, he won a championship last year. He took that net, and he never gave it back. And you could even make the argument that he's only giving the net in Cleveland back right now to Korpisalo because he's getting a chance to come up here.
Yeah, and we always try to follow the code that we have, that you have to earn your call-up, and that... That's what determined the call-up with Forsberg. It's very simple. He earned it. He deserved it. And, he showed some nerves of steel in the playoffs and in the finals in the American League when he went in and when Jonas Korpisalo started very well in the playoffs and then had a couple of subpar games. And Anton got his opportunity, and he never gave the net back, as you said. So... he's got NHL potential. He's got NHL starter potential, and he's going to have a great opportunity here at some point to to make a start, and I'm sure he'll be more ready this year than he has in the past.
Another transaction you made last year was picking up Seth Jones, and I knew nothing about him, and I'm just wondering, did you know he was that good of a, you know his skill and his size, but he seems like a really great guy and a great fit in your room. Did you know how good of a person he was?
Yeah, we had a lot of we did a lot of homework on his character, and we were kind of fortunate. Billy Zito was the assistant GM on the U.S. World Championship team when Seth Jones played there as a member of Nashville Predators. So they spent 2 weeks together in Czech Republic and getting to know each other. Bill had nothing but great things to say about Seth and his character and his off ice and habits and what kind of teammate he was. Obviously, we had watched him a lot for the draft. Our scouts knew him inside and out. We did a lot of pro scouting and watched a lot of tape too from his recent games in Nashville. And when I first joined the Blue Jackets, we were in last place, and so I went to see Seth Jones, Nathan MacKinnon, Jonathan Drouin, those guys a lot. And so I was able to see Seth Jones that spring quite a bit. So we'd gotten to know him since he was a draft-eligible 17-year-old, 18-year-old player. But also the off-ice part, we felt that we had a pretty good book on it because of Bill Zito. So those things all combined, and he came in and has fit in perfectly with our team and is well-liked around in the room. And his on-ice thing is His performance just scratching the surface now. He's 22 years old, and I think there's another level two or three that he can get to.
If you're going to build a team from scratch, is that, I mean, besides the goaltender, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, is that the most coveted position? I mean, is that the right-handed shot number one or number two defenseman? Is that what you go after?
Yeah, right-handed, left-handed. I think you build from goalies up defense, and we've seen the importance of our defense, the mobility and the ability to play the transition. It's basically changed the way we play the game. I've said this before, but it doesn't matter how good your forwards are if they never get the puck from your defenseman. You're not going to get it fast enough in transition. You're not coming out of your own end clean, and it's as simple as that.
Maybe that was my problem. I didn't play with good enough defensemen.
It could be.
Talking with General Manager Jarmo Kekalainen, you're talking about Seth Jones. He, Sergei Bobrovsky, John Tortorella, all going to represent the Blue Jackets with the NHL All-Star festivities in Los Angeles in a couple of weeks. How nice is it to be that well represented by this team going into a big event like that?
It's awesome. I'm very proud of the players that got selected and very happy for John Tortorella. It's a great honor, and you get it as a coach. You get it because we have the highest winning percentage in the standings at I think the dates today, and so it's great. I think it's a great honor for those players and coach, but it's also great for the organization.
Let's talk about the expansion draft, because as it goes on, people are going to start talking about that more and more. How do you approach that, and what really are the rules? The players that you're looking at, everybody's going to lose somebody good. Every team's going to lose a good player. As you look at it, how do you size it up, and what players, how many players do you have to protect, and how do you go about the whole thing?
Actually, when you look at it a little bit closer, not every team's going to lose a good player, and it's a bit of a timing thing, too. If we had this expansion draft a year ago, we wouldn't have lost anybody. We would have had the perfect mix of exempt players and the amount of players that we needed to protect. So, it's going to be interesting here, because the closer you get to the deadline, and every team in this league wants to make the playoffs and is competing right now to make the playoffs, but we might see a little bit more moves as far as, somebody thinking, okay, that the chances are not that great. Let's just make sure that we protect our franchise for the future. And some moves that normally might not be made will be made to protect the organization for the expansion draft. But we're going to do everything we can to make sure that we protect our team and our franchise the best way we can. It's unfortunate that you're going to lose a player, but we'll see where it goes. It's going to be interesting. There's going to be a lot of talking with Las Vegas too before we get to the expansion draft. There's all kinds of different options that you can look at. to have him to try to steer him to take certain player or you know, there's going to be a lot of talk, and Las Vegas is going to hold a lot of interesting cards in their hands to select the players they can.
Yarmo, you just played your 41st game as an organization for on this season, your team has. And you think back to last year and the difference of where you sit as a general manager. You guys have a plan, but I mean, you've got the best team in the National Hockey League. What does the second half look like for you now? I know it's completely opposite of last year where you're scratching your head and wondering. But now, I mean, is there a sense now that, hey, our team, this could be a time for us?
Well, first of all, I think we have something to look forward to every day. That's a huge thing. When you go through the start that we had last year and you get to the second half pretty much knowing that the hope's gone, it's tough. It's tough for the players. It's tough for the coaching staff to try to motivate the players that have no hope or very little hope of making the playoffs. So we have something to look forward to every day. And I think that our mindset that we've had right from the start of the year that, as a young group, let's just concentrate one day at a time, focus on getting better each and every day. I think that's the mindset that we need to keep having and do that until the end of the regular season. And hopefully we'll be in the playoff picture by then. And then we'll go. And then we'll go for it like any team would go for it in the Stanley Cup playoffs if we make it. I mean, anything can happen in sports. We've seen it on both sides of the coin. And there's not a team in the National Hockey League that isn't going to the Stanley Cup playoffs thinking that they're going to win it.
I'm going all over the place here, but I want to go back about, you mentioned John Tortorella being an all-star, but you didn't know him when you hired him. How impressed are you with him and how he approaches every single day with this group?
He's been in the league for a long time for a reason. He's won the Stanley Cup, and he's the winningest U.S.-born coach, and he's won 500 games and so forth. That doesn't happen by accident, so there's no surprise there, really. More biggest surprise, I guess, is you know, the public perception sometimes is so different from what the reality is. We had some very good intel on him from inside. John Davidson knew him from when he was in New York, and we talked to a lot of different type of players. We talked to a skilled player, we talked to a tough player, we talked to role players, we talked to players that were in his doghouse, we talked to players he loved. So we talked to a lot of different types of players to find out what type of coach he is, not just the ones that we would expect to say great things about him. So, you know, pretty much all the players liked playing for him. Even the ones that he was tough on said that, you know what, at the end of the day, after being able to digest this message, I realize now what he was trying to get through. I like the honesty and the straightforward style that keeps everybody accountable. And I think one of the biggest things in motivating people is that that people that you're trying to motivate know exactly what's expected of them. There's always clarity in that. And if there's any misconception or any questions, you'll get the answers from right away.
As we're in Florida now, you're going to get together with your scouts and have a big scouting meetings. And what kind of things will you go over there? And Jody was just saying about how things are so much different for you this year from last year. As you go into that meeting with your scouts, what do you expect the energy to be like this year, just because of the way the team's playing with all the positive vibes that are going on here?
It'll be completely different. I'm sure everybody's happy around the team, and it includes scouts too. You know, I did that for 15 years, and when the team's losing and you go into the scouts room before the games, you kind of have your head down, and everybody's looking at you. Those guys are in the bottom of the standings. It's not fun. So it trickles down for sure, and those guys do a hard job for us and great job for us. So I'm happy for them too that they can walk with their head high now, and they've done a great job. So they deserve a lot of credit. So we get together with the pro scouts first before the Tampa game, and then we get together with the amateur staff before and after the Florida Panthers game. So with the pro scouts, we'll talk about the approaching deadline and what our needs might be and where our focus needs to be as far as what we need to see and what we need to evaluate. And then with the amateur scouts, it's just a midterm, regular midterm meeting, getting ready for the draft.
So all those guys that are driving through a snowstorm in Saskatchewan in the middle of the night, or driving through New England watching the American Hockey League games, this is a time they can ride in that car with the heater cranked up and feel good, right?
Yeah, yeah, and we always have the spouses come into the midterm meetings, and they're in down south, a little warmer weather than the Saskatchewan weather at this time of year, so that'll keep the wives happy for the next couple of months, and boys can be on the road.
That's important.
Happy wife, happy life, right, Joe?
That's right, Bob. We know that.
All right. Yarmil, thank you so much. We appreciate you taking the time. Good luck.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That is General Manager Jarmo Kekäläinen of the Blue Jackets. And the Inside Edge continues right after this on 97.1 The Fan. Welcome back to the Inside Edge here on 97.1 The Fan. I'm Bob McGilligan, joined by Jody Shelley. And here in Tampa, where we're coming to you with tonight's show, we're joined by Aaron Portsline, who covers the Blue Jackets beat for the Columbus Dispatch. I noticed that it was Tom Reed that was in Carolina to cover that game, but here we are in Florida, and all of a sudden, you're here. I guess that would be the status of the veteran reporter on the staff. Is that right?
I think this question has been planted by Tom. That is inaccurate. Tom wanted to go to Raleigh, talked his way into that game because it was the last of the 30 buildings. It was the only building he hadn't seen in the league. So I also used that tack for him in Winnipeg. You haven't been to Winnipeg, Tom. You should go to Winnipeg. And it worked. Now I'm out of that. Those excuses are – he doesn't know this yet, but I'm going to ask him to go back to Raleigh again at the end of next month. But, no, he wanted to be there.
With that winning streak the Blue Jackets were on, it was nice to see all three of you guys fall in the team. Talk about that and how your team has been working together here now.
Well, yeah, it felt like a playoff trip, really. The paper really got into it. Because people really got into it, it became a huge story internationally. So, Tom, Mike, myself, Michael Arace, Tom Reed, myself, all went on the road. I think that's what will happen in the playoffs as well. It's almost like a new reality here in Columbus where a lot of years the paper has factored possible playoffs into the budget, and there's a lot of years where they've taken it off the budget pretty early. Now I think it's back in, and I think they're delighted by that because the traffic is up. People are really, really interested, and our numbers were off the charts. They do really well anyways just because there's so much interest, but they were off the charts during that streak.
Aaron, let's stay with that for just a second because this is completely different than the two playoff runs of the past. Those were runs where the team had to get hot in March and play well down the stretch and then kind of get in the last couple of weeks of the season. Here we are sitting here in the middle of January, talking about the playoffs and knowing that, you're going to be there unless something dramatic happens and something really terrible happens. So how nice is that when you're talking about a new reality? I mean, there are many teams in this league that this is how they are every year. It's a first time here. This would be nice to make this kind of a yearly ritual.
Yeah, and I think it's new for all of us. I mean, these games carry so much more weight now. The whole perspective has changed. Like, you're getting ready now after the game, after they play in Tampa, it will be the midpoint of the season, and you're looking at a minimum of 60 points, right? The math that we do this year is different. The 16-game winning streak was one thing, but really the play from the start of the season has been totally different. And you're right. The 08-09, I think 08-09, they got off to a pretty steady start, and then they had a lull there in the 70-game stretch, and then they got it back together again. 13-14 was just a blistering finish. This feels totally different where now they are, and I think we've all dealt with this, the hunted. They're the team that people are coming after, which is, it's strange to even think in that way, that Columbus is the big dog that people are trying to take off because that's all happened so quickly.
Funny you say that. I was thinking yesterday, we pulled up at the rink for the morning skate, and I was watching the players get off the bus, as I've done a million times. And the thought crossed my mind, the Carolina Hurricanes are ready to take on the best team in the NHL right now, and here they are. And it's the same guys that were the 27th place team last year at the end of the season. But I guess now the focus shifts to, all right, what do you do between now and then? We saw the move earlier this week with Curtis McElhinney. We just talked with Jarmo Kekäläinen about that move and the reasons behind that and bringing up Anton Forsberg. But that's a move that's somewhat of a minor move. But what do you see the mindset as for a franchise that hasn't been here at this time of the year before?
Well, I think this is one of the reasons John Tortorella's been so locked in on trying to keep everybody's eye right there on that day, because it is a new experience for everybody. I almost felt like during the winning streak, he was trying to settle the fans down, settle the media down almost as much as he was his own players. Stop asking these questions. Act like you've been here before, even though you haven't been here before. Yeah, this is all new. That the change on the back end for me the last 48 hours, it's changed. It's amazing how much that position has changed, especially with McElhinney being claimed and going to Toronto. If he had cleared, of course, it doesn't really change that much because you could get him back at any time. He's now in Toronto, so now, you know, it goes all the way down to who's your backup in Cleveland. Now you need Korpisalo or Forsberg to be ready. They better be, or you are looking at adding a veteran goaltender in the playoffs. You can't go into the playoffs with a question mark at the number two spot, I don't think, because just think how devastating that would be if it came to pass. But, yes, the general manager is always thinking of tomorrow in the NHL. In this case, I think has to be looking ahead to March. And for all of these GMs, whether you're making the playoffs or not, you're looking ahead to June, because this is going to be a different summer with the expansion draft. And you better believe in March some of that finagling is going to begin already, so that some teams have enough guys to expose and some guys can take guys off the board that they would have to expose because of the way that their rosters are put together. It's a different outlook for Columbus here. Do they need depth forward, someone who can win a faceoff in the playoffs? I think that is huge for this team. Do they need a trustworthy 7 or 8 defenseman? I like Harrington. Prout has played well in the past, but those guys haven't played for how long now? And do you trust those guys to go in if you have an injury heading into the playoffs? What if you have 2 injuries going into the playoffs? I almost think they want to add a veteran defenseman there in the 5 to 7 range, say, so that they feel like their bases are covered when the postseason arrives.
I want to ask you this question because we're talking with Aaron Portsline from the Columbus Dispatch, by the way. You covered baseball for a long time. You spent a lot of time covering the Clippers. And in the baseball circles, we always talk about there are some players that are 4A guys. Yep. They're very good at AAA. They are not good enough to stay in the major leagues. Yep. Anton Forsberg is a very good goaltender. And this may or may not be fair, but when he's come up and played in the NHL, his numbers don't reflect what they do when he's in the American Hockey League. He loses a game last night, and I know it was only his first one of the year, but from your perspective in watching players like that, is this guy working his way into a 4A position?
I think he is in the 4A position. I think he's trying to work his way out of that, frankly. I think so many times, and Jody might even be a better voice on this, or at least this aspect of it, it's between the ears more than it is the physical capabilities. Forsberg, I think, is 1-8 now, career in the NHL. But in fairness, I think the first year he was up here, he looked way out of his league. I think last year at times he looked pretty good. He looked okay. Last night, there was that stretch in the second period where you're wondering, oh, man, this could get ugly here in a hurry. And then he got it back together again, and I think he made some decent saves the rest of the way. I don't think that was a really good game for anybody last night. I'd like to see him get a few starts, I think, with this team playing the way that they can play before I think we sign off on that. Korpisalo looked like a guy who plays better in the NHL sometimes than in the AHL. Forsberg may be the other direction. He's been great in the AHL. I'm not ready. I don't think we should sign off on that yet, but there's early evidence it could be that. But I still think he has time to play in front of a good team before that decision's made.
Oh, what about the fact that we've been spoiled with Sergei Bobrovsky in that 16-game winning streak? And, you know, I agree with you guys, but I think that there is a need of kind of a settling period for Forsberg, too. A little overhyped last night, I thought, a little too excited in the second period, trying to do too much. And, you know, when you're coming in for a goaltender like Sergei Bobrovsky, and you don't want to be the reason why a team will lose that game. The goalie that just had the net, other than Sergei, got waived the day before. You think you're under a microscope a little bit. So we need to let him have a little bit of a settlement. But I agree with you. With what he's played his 10th game in the National Hockey League. Korpisalo was the hot story last year. And if you think about that goaltending story in itself, going back to last year, it is amazing to me what Curtis McElhinney went through this offseason, how he handled it, how he came in and did a phenomenal job. I mean, have you seen a pro handle thing better than the way Curtis McElhinney did?
Well, and didn't we all just know in the summer that they were looking at one of the kids over McElhinney? And, I mean, that was, I don't know if it was directly stated or if it was just sort of part of everything that was passed along. I loved talking to him in training camp where he said point blank, I want my job back. And he was the best goaltender in training camp. They had no choice but to keep him here. But didn't you also get the sense that even through the first half of the season that the position was not settled? I didn't think it was. And it, I don't know, trust has been such a big part of what's gone on here. I didn't ever get the sense that they trusted him in the big moments. And I looking back now, I wonder if he was put in against the Rangers, big game, emotional game. Yes, Bobrovsky needed a break. But do they not want an answer about that position before they head into the second half of the season? So let's put McElhinney into a really big, emotionally charged game and just see where it goes. And if it doesn't go the way we need it to go, we've got the whole second half of the season to sort it out. But these kids, Forsberg, Korpisalo, they've got to decide which one they're keeping, which guy they're moving along. And I'm not sure that the one that they're moving along may not be moved along before the end of the season. Could be part of something at the trade deadline, could be part of something this summer to affect their list in the expansion draft.
Talking with Aaron Portsline of the Columbus Dispatch here in Tampa to cover the Blue Jackets and the Lightning on Friday night. And we'll continue this conversation right after this on 97.1 The Fan. Welcome back to the Inside Edge on 97.1 The Fan. We are here at the Marriott in Tampa, Florida, right across the street from Amalie Arena, where the Blue Jackets will take on the Lightning and try to sweep the three-game season series on Friday night. I'm Bob McElligott with Jody Shelley, and we're joined by Aaron Portsline, Blue Jackets beat writer who covers the team for the Columbus Dispatch.
And Aaron, thanks for joining us here, and great conversation so far. But I wanted to ask you a question because, you know, we have a way of seeing situations or people in this business. Me as a former player, Bob in the minor leagues, dealt with a lot of head coaches or managers. I'm wondering about John Tortorella and you. You've covered a lot of professional teams. You've had a lot of NHL coaches. But his persona coming into this position and where we're at right now, what is your feel and your relationship and just kind of your view of John Tortorella, the coach, and a day-to-day interaction?
Well, let me ask you first, is he known to listen to this program?
No, he doesn't read anything. He doesn't listen to anything. Apparently, you don't listen. He goes out of his way to tell you that all the time.
Isn't it funny that he doesn't read or listen to anything, but he knows what's being said or in written? I love it. Boy, this is a, I don't know, this is like a chapter in the book all by itself. I find him to be fascinating on so many different levels. We have not had any situations certainly that match what's been on YouTube, nor do I care to. But there have been little snippy moments. There have been moments where you know he doesn't like the question, moments where he's just not in a good mood and doesn't want anybody around, much less to be talking to anybody. But I, for what we do, and I think Tom Reed and I agree on this entirely, I would trade that, those moments of snippiness is the best way to say it on this show, for his honest insight, for his unflinching opinions on things. He is one of the few coaches in big-time sports today that will tell you exactly how he feels, will use the very descriptive, forceful, straightforward words that make management cringe sometimes. I love it, and I think fans benefit from it immensely because he gives them a window into the team that a lot of coaches will not give. But I find him so fascinating, and I'm not sure, I don't know what the diagnosis would be, but there are times where he says, I'm not going to tell you that, and then a second later tells you that beyond what you could have ever imagined. But you never know what's coming. Sometimes after a win, he's in a worse mood than he is after a loss. Everyone's on their toes. I've never thought so much about how I'm going to frame questions coming down on an elevator than I have with him. There are questions that have to be asked, and you got to ask them. But yeah, it's been a very interesting wild ride. And everybody who's played for him, everybody who knows him, says a lot of the same things that, like, I mean, he's always, there's always something coming that you're not quite prepared for. I think he's an endlessly fascinating human being.
Sounds like he's made you better.
I still don't think I write well for a living. But yes, there are times where I go, yeah, I'm on my game tonight, where maybe I wouldn't have been in the past.
Well, how about this Blue Jackets team and the All-Stars that were picked just yesterday? When Seth Jones is going to be going to the All-Star game, young right-handed defenseman, Sergei Bobrovsky, the goaltender, obvious choice, and John Tortorella, who we just spoke of, he will be there. But how about some of the omissions? I mean, I know there's so many spots, but for you, did they get it right?
I mean, it's so – Werenski maybe over Jones was one debate. I think there are certainly deserving players that have to go in. It's just so hard in the East when there's 11 players from each division and there's 8 teams in the division. I mean, 3 teams can have 2, and that's it. There's no way one team can have 3. It's almost impossible. Does Cam Atkinson deserve to be there? Of course he does. He absolutely does. But can you imagine the league keeping Alexander Ovechkin out to put Cam Atkinson in? They don't make those decisions like that. They just don't. Would they keep John Tavares out to put Cam Atkinson in? I don't think the league thinks that way. And there's a requirement for each team to have one. So Tavares goes for the Islanders. Taylor Hall goes for the Devils. Who did the Justin Falk get in for the Hurricanes? Yeah, so there's Werenski's spot. He probably deserves that spot more than Falk does, but the Hurricanes have to have somebody. On the Columbus side, the Werenski versus Jones. Jones goes in. I think he's clearly been the Blue Jackets' number one defenseman in terms of responsibility, ice time, all those sort of things. If they had anything to say in it, I think they would have put Jones in. But, boy, I mean, you look at the stars that are pushing this league, the young stars. Werenski's absolutely in that conversation. So that would not have surprised me if it went that direction either. But, again, we're talking about the new reality, these new conversations. We've in the past, Columbus has been that Carolina, New Jersey Islanders story where you're like, which guy's going in? Last year, Brandon Saad went in. Now it's the other way around where you're arguing that more guys should have gone in. It's different in the West where there's 7 teams. Chicago gets 4 guys in. It opens up a spot, a big spot. I have to think there's still a really good chance Cam Atkinson still goes. Sidney Crosby's played in 1 All-Star game his entire career. He's pulled out of 5 with injuries. I'm doing quote marks with my fingers. Maybe he pulls out of another one and Atkinson goes in. You'd have to think he's on the short list to go in.
All right, let's go to this subject. Speaking of the All-Star game, is there going to be one next year, or are the players going to get their wish and go to the Olympics?
That's a rich one. I don't know. I don't know is the honest answer. I think the league is not keen on going, or they're trying to get a better deal to go. And they're trying to turn it into part of the CBA negotiations, really. Yeah, it's kind of a mess. I don't know if I want them playing in those Olympics. Anyway, an American's probably the last guy to ask, because to me the NHL has always been bigger than the Olympics, which I know is a strange thing. I always cared more about the NHL season than I do about the Olympics. Jody's probably rolling his eyes as a Canadian. International sports is different in some countries. I hope they don't go. I hope they just play a season and have an All-Star game. But I'll probably complain about that if it comes to pass, too. Who knows? There's no easy answer here.
But here's the one thing about it. The Olympics are in Beijing the next time around, and China is a market that they're really trying to reach out to. So how do you tell the players, no, you can't go to Korea, and then come back 4 years later and say, oh, we really need you to go to China?
Well, I don't think the league's ever had any issues taking arguments up that they can't justify. If that's a nice way to say it. Who cares? I mean, I think that for them could just be, we're not going there. There's not a huge benefit to us going to this place. But this place, there is a huge benefit to us going. The NBA's done really well in China. They've had players from there, of course, that have helped Yao Ming push that, I mean, some of the NBA coverage in China is incredible. I don't know if the NHL can tap it to that degree, but with that many people, with the world continuing to open up, it seems to make a ton of sense.
And just quickly here, what any rumblings? What are you hearing in the league? We hear a lot of GMs even here. Steve Yzerman's trying to get some defensemen. I just read that today. It seems like it's a hard market to make a trade in.
Well, I think it's always hard, and it's been really hard since the advent of three-point games. You know, there's just not separation in the standings. There are teams that know what they need, but there are other teams that know they're not going to make the playoffs, but they're not far enough out of the mix to justify trading veteran players to their fan base. And that's really what it's about. And I don't see it coming uncorked any sooner this year than it has in years past. It's really hard. All the cap stuff and that stuff plays a part as well. But it's just the separation in the standings. Every team still has that dream. Every team still wants to sell tickets. And it's hard to justify trading significant players when you're 3 points out of the playoffs. But those are sort of the decisions that they have to confront.
Everybody has that dream except for the Colorado Avalanche. Aaron, thank you very much. We appreciate you coming on with us, and love to do it again sometime throughout the year.
My pleasure. Anytime. Let's come back to Tampa to do it.
That would be all right. In the playoffs, we could do that. Aaron Portsline, he covers the Blue Jackets beat for the Columbus Dispatch. The Blue Jackets and the Lightning going to play here on Friday night. That will be a 7 o'clock start. And then the Blue Jackets will move across the state and play in Sunshine, Florida, against the Panthers on Saturday to wrap up this road trip. That's going to wrap up this week's edition of The Inside Edge. For Jody Shelley, I'm Bob McElligott. Thanks for listening to 97.1 The Fan.
This has been The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McElligott.
And I got two words for you. Game over.
March with us. Brought to you by Ohio Health, Nationwide Insurance, Eldorado Scioto Downs, and Huntington.
On your flagship station for the Columbus Blue Jackets, Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.